Do you have the intro?
I don't have the intro.
I thought you had it.
Like the song?
Yeah. Hi everyone. Today is June 23rd. It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. My name is Emily Lysenko, and I'm joined today by Brandon Diaz, as always, for the remainder of this podcast.
Yeah. I hope.
Yeah. But today is going to be the first episode, the first official episode of our podcast and of Blank Take.
Yeah.
And Brandon is going to take it away with our introduced media piece that we are going to be diving into. And mind you, this is a bit of a heavier episode because we are going to be talking about the recent news surrounding the Black Lives Matter movement, recent cases that are coming up across the nation, the extent of George Floyd and that particular case, because that is what our media today kind of centers around, is that case. So take it away.
So today, this is something that Emily and I both watched recently. What was that, like four or five days ago that we you know, noticed it. But it's Dave Chappelle's YouTube video, or Netflix, right? You said it was a
Netflix special, but it's on YouTube.
Entitled 846.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it yet, we encourage you to go watch that. You know, don't just listen to us talk about it. Dave Chappelle is definitely much more, not eloquent. He's just a better, you just have to hear it for yourself.
He's Dave Chappelle.
We're not doing justice. Yeah, we're butchering it, whatever he says.
Sure, but we're going to give a summary on what he says and why
so
it's important.
Essentially what he talks about, he starts off talking about the whole movement and, you know, his stance on it. Well, not really his stance, but more like, you know, his opinions on it, his opinions on George Floyd's death and whatnot. So, yeah, that's kind of how he, you know, in classic Dave Chappelle fashion, where he can incorporate this. He can be hilarious, but also incredibly serious. Like, throughout, there were multiple times where I got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Where I was like, wow.
There's great sincerity in what he says.
Yeah.
With also a certain aspect of levity.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is a very serious topic. And sometimes, as I'm sure all of you are well aware, with just the news being very negative, and, of course, social media is flooded with all this news about, you know, new cases and all the tragedies that are occurring, it's hard to wade through that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, you feel heavy all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I feel absolutely heartbroken all the time and angry. So sometimes jumping into a conversation that you know might be uncomfortable, you refuse to do it. But Dave Chappelle has a way of, again, like we talked about, making
that
you feel
levity.
Comfortable
yeah.
and making you hear what everything that he has to say
without being, you know, without saying stuff that everybody's saying. It's not like the things that he talks about are not really, I wouldn't say they're uncommon, the things that he talks about, but he speaks in a way that's kind of a different take.
You'll learn
and,
from it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
There's incredible rhetoric and comparisons that he makes that make you, like, really grab a hold of what he's saying and really understand. But at the same time, you know, he's a comedian and he's absolutely hilarious. So, Dave, thank you for that. Or Mr. Chappelle. Yeah, Mr. Chappelle. I'm not on a first name basis, but it was absolutely incredible. So we encourage you to go watch that.
If you guys didn't know, it's entitled 846.
Yep.
Precisely because that's the amount of time that George Floyd was knelt on by the officer. That's the amount of time that his airway was cut off. His air was cut off, correct? And, you know, Dave Chappelle delivers all that information. I had not known that precisely. I haven't seen the full extent of the video that was taken because I knew that I didn't need to see it to feel angry and to feel absolutely disgusted and heartbroken by what happened and everything that transpired and the inaction by the other officers and everything. But something that I did learn from Dave Chappelle's special, as we talked about earlier, was the fact that it's just unreal.
Yeah.
Like, it's absolutely almost unfathomable that this man who was speaking to these officers, calling them sir, being respectful, saying please, when at the same time he was then calling for his, was it mother or grandmother? Mother. Who had passed away, and he knew that those were his last moments, right?
Yeah.
And still it was...
It's disgustingly respectful.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to put that into words. Like, he was respectful, but I'm thinking, you know, I definitely couldn't put myself
in those shoes.
There's
no way to argue in any way. You know, you come across these cases and there's always, you know, the devil's advocate on, well, there was resistance and, you know, they had to make a quick decision. You know, they really thought they were in danger, but...
Yeah.
Here, it's pretty cut and dry on what you see and what happened, and everything that could go wrong did go wrong in that case. And even if there was resistance, even if he had committed a crime and done something bad, there's no jurisdiction that a cop should have to
do something.
Have that kind of force in what happened. But yeah, that's something that... I really took away from this particular special is just how he related to that and reacted to that. He says, you know, how do you see that? You don't see that video and you walk away from it. You don't go home.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening across the nation. Like, people are saying, we can't go home from it.
Mm-hmm.
This can't end. You know, the volume has to be turned all the way up, and really, this is the discussion that really matters. And of course, we have all of these great conversations that are coming out of it, like Juneteenth, that hasn't been talked about on like the volume that we've seen this year.
Well, in a way, and I've said this to other people, in a way, I think that if anything, it was, I don't know if this is the way to say it, but almost a perfect storm in that, with Corona, and it just seemed like amazing timing for, I mean, this, don't take this, you know, as me being insensitive to the whole thing, but, you know, if something like this, an event like this, were to trigger, you know, mass, you know, people going out in the streets and protesting, this was, you know, the perfect storm to get this message carried, because people have been sitting inside, you know, people are on, like, watching the news, and when something like this comes out, and everybody's watching, this is, you know, the perfect opportunity for everybody to get out and protest, and that's why.
And get educated.
Yeah, and that's, exactly. And, you know, especially kids sitting at home during the summer, you know, everybody is on social media. Everybody, I mean, if you have not been on Instagram or, you know, anything, any kind of social media, you know, you're missing out. You know, if you've been on it, you know what I'm talking about with, like, the mass social media presence from, you know,
this
young people and old people alike, and just everybody posting about things and ways to educate themselves and whatnot. But yeah, in a way, I think that it was almost, you know, great timing for us to, because these things have happened before. You know, Trayvon Martin, that was something that happened years ago, and people got out and protested, but it kind of, you know, fizzled. There was change, obviously, since Trayvon Martin. Obviously not enough. But it kind of fizzled out. And if anything, I think that this is the perfect time for us to continue this, especially among young people. Yeah, it has to be
even
the time.
Perfect time.
Yeah.
But it's...
I know, yeah.
It should always be the time.
Yeah.
You know, it should have happened throughout
years
the
ago.
Nation's history, of course, if you're talking about, you know, the decency of human life and human rights, and, you know, this, we're kind of at a parallel with 1992, the LA riots and Rodney King. Like, it's all coming back round again, and I think that there needs to be an intention to move it beyond what happened and what didn't happen after Rodney King. Because after that, people are like, how could we not get justice? And then justice wasn't served, so it's going to happen again, and I think there needs to be intention to move it further than it did before. And I think everyone's seeing the red strikes.
Yeah.
Everyone's having the discussions.
And that's what's so great about it.
Yeah, defund the police, that was never a rhetoric that I heard. ACAB was never something that I heard before this, and that's something that is sometimes hard to swallow, especially when you're living in a position where you live in a position where you trust the law enforcement and the institutions around you, right? You believe my community is good. It's going to serve good. And that could be very well true, right? And you relate to the fact that you've had positive experiences with those institutions, right? And, your school, yeah. Your police officers, your fire department, but then you have to really reckon with the fact that on an institutional, systematic scope, it's really flawed. And I think those discussions are especially vital to talking about and having people better understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I think, like you said, defund the police, what it really means and what it can amount to does not fit on
and going
a simple protest sign. It's something that's like, how are we going to do that? Your communities are then definitely not going to be safe. But when you're talking about institutions of over-policing.
And going back to what you said about the institutions, Dave Chappelle, he mentions that about, you know, he says, I'm pretty sure it's the exact line. He says, our institutions have been lying to us. And I think that's an important line in itself. And I would go further as to say that institutions, you know, when I think of immediately I thought of like schooling, you know, institution is also, you know, the police system and whatnot. But when I think of schooling, a lot of the times it's also, you know, institutions are not giving the full picture. Because it's not necessarily that they're lying to you. It's just they're not telling us everything that's going on. There's a lot of stuff that goes under our noses that we're not understanding and that we're not seeing.
Like the history books.
Exactly. And even in, you know, the policing system with, you know, these problems have been going on for years. But now with the presence of social media, everything's in your face and you're learning about these things. But this has been happening for decades. So when I... of course they are, you know, lying, but they're also, you know, not, they've been not giving us the full picture and not really.
I think what I really liked about Dave Chappelle, not only just his oratory skills to really bring you in and have you relate to what he's saying, but I think it's very similar to, he says, you trust me. People wanted him to speak out, and he was called out by Don Lemon about not saying anything and being silent. You know, where are our celebrities? Where are their voices? We need them to talk about this now. And he was called out on not talking about it precisely because people do trust him and people want to listen to him. And they've trusted his take on race and his way of talking about it. And I think it's similar to someone like... Toni Morrison and just how poignantly she talked about race. And she has an interview where she talks about Rodney King, and just similar to what Dave Chappelle says, there's great restraint, but then when something like the incident with George Floyd happened, yes, it did blow up. It had to blow up. There was great restraint before that. That was just tightening the tension across the board.
And that's back to the, I think it was, you know, that was the straw that broke the camel's back, in that everything was lined up perfectly for this event to be the one that's like, hey guys, all right, let's go. Like, this is the time. This is, it's been the time, but now people are starting to, people of all races are starting to realize.
I think if you don't have that framing and that understanding of just, like we said, the systematic pattern of this, then you don't relate to how big this moment is and the magnitude of it. But he said, he compares it, like, how could you see this video and not expect the wrath of God to pour out of it? That's what he says. He talks about the Chris Dorner case, the LAPD police officer who, you know, wrote the manifesto that was years ago. If you don't know about that case, I won't get into it, but you can look it up and what have you. But again, there's restraint on those levels, and this understanding that we're calling out, if you're calling out police, right? I think, how do I put this? I don't know if you can hear my dog in the back. Sorry for that. But in the police force, there's this understanding. There's your own culture, right? In every institution. In the Senate, there's a culture. In the House of Representatives, there's a different culture, right? In government and everything. But in police force, there's this understanding that, like, you don't talk bad about another police officer. And there's, like, this silent... They call it, like, what? The silent blue line? Or the blue wall? Blue wall of silence? I think right now everyone's trying to break that down, and that's why everything is so loud about what's happening, because it's so unjust, and because from the other side of it, the police side, it's silent, right?
Yeah.
And it's not. So I think we're like trying to compensate for that silence.
But I want to go back to something that we kind of talked about earlier, is like, you know, how everything is in your... Did we talk about that on recording, or was that kind of off? I can't remember.
How everything is amplified?
Yeah, how everything's so amplified now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know,
as of it course, should be.
As it should be. But, you know, the social media... Oh, yeah, we did talk about that. How, you know, social media presence and everybody is... You know, the social media presence is just so great. Everybody seems to be posting on social media. Like, there's so many different facets to this entire movement. So, you know... You can't really pinpoint a specific something, one post that everybody's posting. It's kind of just a variety of all these different messages. But essentially, yeah, it's just, it's kind of incredible the amount of posting that we've seen, and the amount of, yeah, the unity from all these different races, and all these people, you know. Of course, there's different opinions, and
I think, definitely missing
Of course.
On it.
But something that I wanted to get into, like, about the whole social media thing and people posting. And this is kind of what I think, what I've learned, what I try to practice from, you know, to try to fuel this movement successfully and be a successful participant in this movement. And first, that goes with educating myself on, you know, what I see on social media. And I think a lot of people just lack that. They just don't...
Check.
They just don't check. It's it's incredible. Like, okay, on TikTok, there's... Yeah, definitely. But I've seen, like, there's things that people say that I'm like, what? Like, this is kind of off topic, but something was like, somebody said that, oh, there's proof that Barack Obama was born in Kenya. Like, here's his birth certificate.
Yeah.
And, like, the date is on there. Mm-hmm. And, like, somebody was like, do you guys, literally just... believe everything you're told. Just simply look up when was the Republic of Kenya formed.
Like, it would not be listed like that on the birth certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, simple Google search. Oh, and it's so frustrating to, like, see that, because what's frustrating about it is not that they've got it wrong and that they've, you know, spread misinformation. It's that, like, you just didn't think to check, and it's also they're trying to do good. They're genuinely not trying to, like, make anybody's point, you know, less valuable. And they're not trying to, like, take something down. They're just trying to help.
It's just the...
Yeah. They're just trying to help. But there's... Here's an example. There was a period in time where there were riots or whatever you want to... Protests in D.C. And there was this trending hashtag on Twitter, D.C. Blackout. I don't know if you heard about that.
Yeah, you told
me
about
that. Yeah, D.C. Blackout. So people were like... The government shut down internet so that people couldn't communicate from D.C. Like, the people in the protest couldn't communicate, like, outside of D.C. Or, like, couldn't communicate their message. And people... It was trending on Twitter. Like, everybody's like, yeah, this is, like, terrible. Like, how could the government do this? Blah, 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 blah. Like, going off, just ranting. And it's fake. It was a fake, you know, never happened. Some account with 3 followers started it and just, you know, it blew up. I mean, that person may have been, you know, trying to just incite things and spread misinformation, but the people who spread it after that genuinely were not trying to, you know, harm the movement or, they just weren't. It's just they were spreading something that they believed to be true and, you know, thought was valid.
No check.
Yeah, no check. Yeah, so the issue is not, you know, that people want to spread misinformation. It's just inherently... You trust the person that you're listening to. It's just this automatic, hey, this
But we seems trust right. Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, no, but, we do. Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, it's everything flawed comes in a way.
With a cross check.
Of course. And it's kind of like, you know, yeah, you just, you, I, what, it's just this, it's not laziness to look it up. It's just you trust whoever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, what's my grandpa was telling me the other day because we had this conversation, and he lives in Corpus Christi, Texas, and he's talking about how, well, he has this accent, like, well,
yeah,
as whatever. So yeah, yeah. I just thought that was interesting. Thought they'd want to know how my grandpa talks. But anyway, he was on his way home from work, and just the gas station. There was a line, like crazy line at the gas station. Mm-hmm. And he rolls down his window because, you know, small town Texas, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "What? Like, what's going on?" And everybody's like, "Gasoline. Like, there's gonna be a shortage. Like, mm-hmm. we're buying gas." So yeah. He bought like just big. What is it called? Well, he filled up his tank. Yeah, he filled up his truck, and then, you know, bought like those canisters or whatever, mm-hmm. and just bought a bunch. And there were like fights. He said like someone was like trying to sneak in front of him.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's like, no, like gotta get gas. Just believe some dude on the side of the road. I mean, look, there's a line going out the door of this
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's a line at this gas station. Crazy line. Turns out it was all fake. Some kids started it just to like cause a panic. But isn't that insane? Like,
no, it's not insane because
yeah,
I think
but.
We're that's who
like
we are
by
as
nature.
Creatures.
Yeah,
we're just survival by the group.
Yep.
Group survival.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we inherently just trust what others say.
Yeah.
Because,
and
because
it
they
goes
don't
with COVID as well. You
and
don't feel
yeah.
Everyone stops feeling worried. Hey, it doesn't exist anymore.
Incredible,
and I think that's what we're seeing, especially here in South Florida.
I told my grandma, I'm like, well, did you tell any of your friends about like the gas thing? He's like, yeah, I texted some of my friends. I'm like, well, there you go. They trust you,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know that you're wrong. You know,
mm-hmm.
you think that what you're saying is right, and, you know, you just want to help them out. And now they're part of the, you know, the whole, it's just all a lie.
It just, you always have to
and
stay
exactly.
on top of what you're reading.
And that's why we'll always...
And what you cross-check.
Yeah. And during this podcast, if we ever say something that's like, you know...
Incorrect, we apologize.
Not even incorrect, but just check what we say. Like, okay.
Don't listen to us. We'll try to cite what we're talking about.
Yeah, we'll try our best to, but if there's anything, you know, we encourage you to look it up yourself. Like, this Dave Chappelle thing, don't take our word. Don't just
read
listen. Go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great, you know, watch anyway. But yeah, anything that we say, just, you know, take the time, quick Google search, you know, that DC blackout, I found out in less than a minute. I just, boop, 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 DC blackout, oh, first article, saw three articles, fake. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And it's just... You have to be able to just quick Google search, and a lot of the times it's right there. It's
mm-hmm.
right in front of your face, and you know you'll feel kind of stupid, like ooh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that's what we need these days. Is
and
that
also expanding
exactly
your spectrum or your perspective?
Yeah, and that's the
reading
next thing.
Sources
yeah.
that you don't always read.
Exactly.
Trying to compare,
and that's
them.
The next thing I want to talk about. This is like kind of my 3-step process. I haven't really come up with a
okay.
name to it yet. All
right,
but second
yes,
step of becoming you know productive is this. We have to understand people.
Beautiful, Brandon.
Well said. No, but we do. There's a lot of, you know, we just have to be, look, there's a lot of radical views out there, and there's a lot of people that I don't agree with.
Sure.
That's just, there's a lot
when
of people
heard,
that all of
when
us
when I heard ACAB, I was like, no
yep,
way.
Me too.
You're not going to get anyone
yeah.
to listen to.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay,
and
let's calm
yeah.
down. The computer's not going to bite me, and I can just read
yeah.
about it and understand. And then we can move on from there. If you still don't agree with it, that's fair.
Yeah.
And you've done your research. Still have the discussions.
Yeah. And you
civil
know what?
Civil discourse.
That's
what we're doing.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
Because the ACAB thing, that's kind of what I want. That's a great example is that at first I was like, what? I'm like, you can't say that.
I was like
all cops are bastards
yeah,
or all
we,
cops are bad. I was like, really? That's terrible. That's honestly like... I'm like, you can't say all. You can say, you know, cops are bad.
Yeah.
What, you can say cab. But like, all, like, I'm like, my neighbor. You know, I grew up best friend neighbor. His mom was a cop. And she was, like, one of the nicest
people I've
ever
met. Did you say bastards or bad? It's bastards.
Bastards, yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, bastards is bad.
No, but
yeah.
it does, like, when I really looked into the language of it and then understanding that it's coming from, fair enough, an institutional perspective... The bastards part is that word is defined in a way that lays out what is unjust. So if you're
okay.
a bastard, you're unjust.
All right.
You know,
I actually didn't. Okay.
Yeah. It it stems from talking more about that systematic viewpoint and injustice, not just, oh, you're a bastard, get off the street.
Yeah.
You know, it's, it does have just standing alone as a word.
Yeah.
In its own,
but again, like,
connotation.
That's, see, right there, I learned something new. I'm like, and this is why these discussions are necessary. But I'll go back to, you know, that whole story is that I was, again, I was like, look, I'm not against people saying, because they can say what they want. And I'm for the movement there on my, you know, we're on the same side. We both think that the policing system is corrupt and the policing system is bad and should be, you know, reformed. And I was for that. And then someone says something like that. I'm like, ooh, I don't love that, but I'm still with you.
Yeah.
But then I had discussions, you know, on my Instagram and people, you know,
commenting.
And I love that. I honestly love that because I can... You know, there's obviously going to be people who at first...
Ask your questions,
Yeah,
it's like all around.
And there's going to be, you know, there were a couple instances where I came across people who were, you know, kind of like wanting to attack me, wanting to just go off on me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once they understood that, hey, I'm here to learn, I'm here to listen to you,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that you want to listen, like, I hope that you listen to me, that mutual respect, instantly, people change, like, on a dime, I've noticed. They just flip. It goes from this, hey, what are you, like... How can you not be? And then
you
it's
have
like,
to
okay.
take your ego out of it.
Yeah, you gotta take. You just gotta be like, hey, people think differently,
and it's bigger than just me.
Yeah, and let me learn something. Let me keep an open mind. Let me listen to what he has to say. And honestly, I can now say that I understand the whole ACAB thing, and I can be like, you know what, say it. Like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I still wouldn't personally say it.
And you can turn around and be like, hey,
exactly.
It's about this.
I still wouldn't personally say it, but
are you on Facebook?
Like I am,
relatives.
But I'm not. Yeah,
oh, I'm on
relatives.
Facebook. Yeah, and sometimes I see posts from, like, relatives. But, yeah, it's hard. It becomes hard to, I guess, coincide with different perspectives because you do see, like, the ignorance not to teach and then the ignorance not to know.
Yeah. There's still a lot of ignorance.
Yeah, so when I first came across, like, ACAB, I was like, well, that you're just carrying the exact... fatal ignorance that got us here. That got us here.
Generalizations and
But then it does need some unpacking, and I'm not saying everyone should yell it from the rooftops. People can have their own opinion on it, but there is some unpacking involved with it, and then looking at the statistics and the facts and the idea that defunding the police means strengthening a community safely in other ways, right? I think that's something that
And that's a great example of the whole, just, you know, and it goes further than just, you know, of course, the ACAB thing, but it's also having these discussions, but having these discussions in a way, in a way that's, hey, you don't agree with me, I don't agree with you, that's fine, we're going to talk about it, and we're going to have an open, wait, have you ever seen, what is it? What, Change My Mind? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
That's insane. That he literally sits there. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. What's the guy's name?
I have no idea.
But he sits there at a table in a college campus, and he's just like, hey, I think...
Like a bad opinion whatever.
His most recent one was, I think the coronavirus death tolls, like the amount of deaths or whatever, they're inflated. Change my mind. And they have a discussion about it, whatever. That's obviously not as, like, you know, he's talked about, like, abortion and, you know, like, deep stuff where people, like, in the crowd get upset and, like, screaming at him.
Yeah, as they would, because we're people.
Yeah, I think those kind of discussions are necessary. These discussions where you can sit down and genuinely just be like, hey, let me hear you. You're going to hear me. We still don't have to agree in the end, but I'm going to learn some things about you. You're going to learn some things about me. And that will unify it. That will unify us into one, because we can all agree that Black Lives Matter. I think that's something that we can all agree.
And if you can't agree,
if you can't agree, yeah, sorry.
Absolutely leave.
But that's kind of kind of contrary to what we're saying.
Yeah, but if you can't see a basic point, sometimes, like, we know who Caitlyn Bennett is. I don't even want to say her name because
know who it is.
But I know that there are people out there that I'll never convince. I'll never reconcile with.
Yep.
I'm going to leave that be, and I'm going to do what I think is most productive in the scope of talking about it actually raising my own self-efficacy and what this means and what it means to petition and write emails and make calls and donate and encourage others to donate if I can. And that's my, and all of that.
Don't jump the gun. That's my next.
That's okay,
my
that's
next
your
step.
Next topic.
But going back to that, when I say we can all agree that Black Lives Matter, is we can all agree that human, their physical human lives matter and their rights matter. Like, that's something we can all, you know,
human rights.
People
matter.
Will debate like, oh, it's not a problem in the United States. Look, that's kind of ignorant, you know.
Incorrect.
But you know, I can still have an open discussion with them and try to convince them of what I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
But we can, I think, every single human who has feelings and emotions can agree that their lives are valuable and they deserve rights. Whether
mm-hmm.
you, it seems like a lot of people who disagree with the Black Lives Matter movement are people who, you know, either disagree with the way they're protesting or, you know,
they
disagree that there's even a problem. They're kind of just, there's no problem. They're kind of just, you know, and again, wait a second, there are extreme racists. I won't say that all people can agree that, you know, Black, there's obviously extreme racists and those organizations that do exist. I'm not, you know, ignorant to those. But I would say that the majority of people with, like, a conscience and a heart can agree that these people deserve rights and these people, you know, deserve better treatment because they're just not getting it in the status quo.
And I think the conversations, like, unravel beyond that.
Yeah.
It's,
of course.
It's like, okay, next we... And that's kind of also the problem that I have with the social media is the posts that do not do anything. Like, we know racism is bad. Let's scaffold that and let's actually try to provide a bit of perspective on the more specific things. I think specificity is very important.
Do you
about
have a problem
this.
With these posts that are just like, you know...
I have a problem with the chain mail posts with the, like, oh, we're going to do this. And, of course, Blackout Tuesday is, like, a great trend to kind of, it's everyone listen up, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't push anyone to look at something. I think the posts that are pertinent is when you bring up the specificity and everything.
And here's
and
something
when
that...
you're talking about Breonna Taylor and Robert Fuller and all, you know, all of these people, it's about... what transpired, the facts, and giving names. Here's who you call. Here's who you email.
Well, here we go. So this is something that
this
I really...
This is getting a bit long.
Should we go in?
I think we should go into episode two. This should be a two-parter.
No, so listen. This is the last thing that
should.
This is something
we'll
that I really want to say, and I think this is perfect. No, I think this is really perfect to what you're saying. You know, you're like, hey, you're not doing enough. And you know what? It's true. It's true. Some of these people are not, but... this is something that I watched recently.
Okay.
It was a TED Talk, but it was not related to this movement. It was related to the environmental, like, you know, fix the environment, save the planet movement. And essentially what she says is, I understand that you feel overwhelmed and you feel like you're doing nothing. That's how she starts it off. Like, what have you really done with that? That's kind of how she starts it off. But
I feel that
she I feel that way too. I feel like I'm doing so little and the problem is so big. But this is what she poses to us. This window of tolerance that she describes. So within this window of tolerance is how much you can tolerate in order to remain productive and make change. So she says there are two things that can push you out of this window of tolerance. One thing is somebody, you know, let's say, like, take the environmental, like, movement, you know, saving the planet, for example. If somebody was just like, yeah, it's a problem, you know, I recommend, you know, just... playing some video games, do something to distract you. You know, do something to just take your mind off it. That's something where you're pushing yourself out of that window of tolerance and you're not going to be productive. You're going to be distracting yourself. Who wants to be distracted when there's a huge problem literally in your face? Nobody can, like, just ignore it, you know? That's one thing. The other thing, which I think is super, like, almost textbook to what's happening right now, is this, hey, do this. Go. Why aren't you doing anything? What are you doing? Why are you sitting on your butt? Like, what? Do something. Like, what? You're just posting this? What is wrong with you? Of course, not that extreme, but that pushes you out of this window of tolerance in which you can be productive. People cannot physically just, like...
they're not going to be like...
take that and be like,
they're not going to switch in a positive way.
Like, oh my God.
Oh, because you...
I'm a lazy...
you called,
like,
me out.
I'm so lazy. Thank you for...
and I understand that. I think I do take more of that intense stance because I think so much is on the line.
Yep. No, there is. There is.
Yeah.
It's insane how much is on the line.
And I did get... I posted something on my story. This was weeks ago. This was more when, like, the violent riots were happening and everything, but what have you. It doesn't matter. I posted something about, like, you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
I posted about, for every aesthetic post you post, like, ooh, it's all pretty pastel pink, Black Lives Matter. For every post you post that's like that, donate.
But listen, I'm gonna teach you some things.
But some people were like, well, isn't it better than nothing? Sure, anything's better than nothing. I woke up today, but I don't need a pat on the back for it.
Yeah,
I think everyone carries their ego closely to them, and I think it's time to drop that and realize that someone can tell you that if you really care about this, you should be doing more. And if it's a message that you don't want to spread, then back away from it, and then you have to walk away with the facts that you backed away. But it's, people have to, I don't know.
Wait,
it's
so not ready?
Easy. Here we I'm go. Not going to say it's easy, yep. But Wait. People have to toughen up.
Perfect segue into my third point, final point.
Okay.
How do you encourage people? How do you motivate people? How do you get people to listen to you? And not only listen, but do something productive. So how do you do that? This is how she describes it. This is what she says.
Oh, I don't answer?
No, you don't answer. This is a rhetorical
Forget
question.
Forget me.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
I had an answer.
Brandon show.
Okay.
Yeah. This is another. But anyway, back to that window of tolerance. There are things that push you out of this window of tolerance in which you can be productive. She moves to say, we have to stop that do this mentality. Like, let's go. Because some people don't, and honestly, I'm one of those people. I'm going to be real honest with you. I'm one of those people.
You're a flower.
There's a lot. There's so much. And I am so, like, there's so, like, going back to the environmental, you know, like, save the planet movement. There's so much going on. Clean the oceans. Clean the atmosphere. Clean the earth. There's litter. We're going to die in 50. Like, that makes me sad. That kills me. And when people are like, you're doing nothing, I feel like
it's
garbage.
Like, you're right.
I feel like garbage. And you're like, I'm like, you're right.
Okay,
but I still
so
cannot
point?
Find myself to do something. So essentially what she says is you have to do whatever it is you feel that you're being productive, but we also need influencers and, you know, the dog is going nuts. Thanks. Right at my, you know, peak.
Big point.
In my big point. But essentially what she says is we have to get these influencers to adopt the mentality of, hey, I understand that it's a lot. I understand that there's a lot going on, and I understand it could be hard to wrap your head around. But here are some things that you can do to actually be productive. And here's the thing that she equates it to, is a therapist, for example. If you go to a therapist and you're like, I'm having problems with whatever, whatever. And she says, well, here's some things to distract you. You're not like, oh, great, thanks, I'm problem solved.
Yeah.
But also if the therapist, imagine you're sitting in the chair and she gets up and starts shaking you. Hey, 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 what are you doing? Like, wake up, wake up. You think they're going to be like, oh, I'm responding to that. I'm going to change.
Yeah.
No, it's like, hey, I understand that it's tough. I understand that everybody responds differently.
Empathy across the board.
Yep, and being like, hey, you're posting on social media, that's all you're doing? That's a good start. No, genuinely, being like, hey, you know, maybe your next step is sign a petition that you feel adamant for. Maybe not donate, but maybe that's your next step.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say baby steps because that's so cliche.
Yeah.
And like, whatever, whatever. But genuinely, not only, you know, doing that yourself, because that's what I've been trying to do, be like, hey, I'm going to sign this petition because I feel adamant about this. I've heard this story. I'm going to sign it. I've signed multiple petitions.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And, you know, my next step is probably donating. And honestly, when there were, you know, protests in Coral Springs, I wanted to go out.
Yeah.
That was my big thing. That was like, hey, I'm going to do something now. Rather than just post on social media, I'm going to go to the protest. Obviously, Corona, my mom and dad were like, no, you can't go. You know, excuses. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But genuinely, I would love to go out. And that's my thing, my personal thing.
I just think.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
I'm just a big advocate for believing in
self-efficacy
and power in numbers.
Yep.
So for me, I'm like, hell yeah, it's going to be uncomfortable. You know what's uncomfortable? This whole situation. Of course, don't respond to
yes,
it. And on a long run, it might not be great.
It's not.
But I think to make people move on it, give them resources that are accessible. and easy.
You're right.
And give them things to light a fire under their feet and be like, I have to think about this. Just like Dave Chappelle's, if you guys can watch that, that lit a fire under my feet. I'm like, yeah, this is the wrath of God coming down, and it should come down because it's been a long time coming.
So, ready? This is our great way to conclude right here.
Okay.
And this is how I feel, is that this podcast is my way of contributing.
Like, but not your only way.
Of course. But this is my, you know, hey.
I'm talking about anything.
I'm doing something. I'm actually out here, and I'm spreading this message. And that's what we need. We need this. Guys, it's okay to be like, you know, it's a lot. Because some people don't, like me and you, we're white people. Emily,
yes.
Like, let's make that obvious.
If you guys
like,
cannot tell, well, we are white, and we're trying.
You know, my, well, I'm gonna tell colleges I'm Hispanic because I do.
You
I am
are
Hispanic,
Hispanic,
but if you saw me,
you're
blonde hair, blue
pass
eyes,
as white.
Yeah, pass as white. But anyway, I'm not a black man living in America, and I have not felt the physical like toll that all this takes on me. And I can try to put myself in that shoes, and I have been able to be like, hey, I know what it's like to be. No, wait. I can imagine what it's like to be in that situation, but I can never. Imagine I can never be in it, and I can never replicate that emotional state. So it's hard for me to get super like behind something. You know what I mean? This is something where I'm like, okay, I can get really behind this, and I'm really gonna try, and I'm really gonna, you know, make that effort. But the environment's a great example. I'm not going out and like every day, like, oh my god, the air sucks.
It's not.
I'm feeling it. Yeah,
it's
a silent.
It needs to be in your face.
It needs to be,
and it needs to stay in your face.
But you have to be considerate of people. Like, hey. People react in different ways, and this is a way where people can build upon that. So this is my way of, hey, this is something that I'm doing. I'm going to build upon this. This isn't my only thing. This is how I throw my hat in the ring and start what I'm doing. So, you know, to conclude, what's something that I think you guys should do, you know, just about this? We should give some things that you guys could do, some small things, other than simply just posting on social media, that you guys could do to take that extra step and be like, hey, I've done something. It's not everything that I can do. It's not my full energy, but it's something that I've done in order, you know, to feel as though I contributed and feel like, hey, this is a good start and I'm being productive. And I think that's what we need to do, and that's what we need to encourage people to spread. Not only do it themselves, but encourage other people to be like, hey, it's okay, you know, if you're overwhelmed. Here's one little thing that you can do. So one of the things that I was thinking, and this is a great thing. This is not really, you know, a signing a petition or a donation.
Yeah.
This is, or a donation of time even. This is, have a discussion with somebody. Have a genuine, open discussion with somebody who shares an opinion.
Unlike
about
yours.
You know, a little facet of this, you know, whole movement. Because there are so many different, you know, ACAB, whatever, like, All Lives Matter. You know, there's so many different, but...
Yeah,
one of those
people
little
think
opinions.
It's a, more of a dichotomy than it actually is when it's really a current that's
so
has a lot of different
find
things.
Somebody, you know, maybe post on your Instagram, hey, share with me your opinion, and we're going to have an open discussion without this hatred and, hey, you're wrong. None of that. Just be like, hey, I hear you. I understand you. I respectfully, you know, disagree with you. This
Let's
is
go.
Why, but tell me why you still disagree with me.
Mm-hmm.
Share with me your opinions. And I think that is something, you know, that's going to heal us and that's going to bring us together to understand each other and then move forward from there and continue to make change. That's something that we can do. So that's one thing that we think you get. We think.
Yeah.
I think you get. Emily's
you
face
still,
right now, I'm guessing
she's. If
you guys
are still listening.
Yeah.
What up?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. This is a long episode. We might cut it in two.
If Dave,
or
if you're,
three.
I mean, Mr.
Dave,
Chappelle.
Mr. Chappelle is not on.
If no, he's got to be listening at this point. If he listened to the beginning, Mr. Chappelle's listening to the end.
No.
But, you know, just granted, Mr. Chappelle, if you're listening, you know, hit us up. We're going to make a Twitter, right?
Sure.
And we're gonna make a Twitter, and we're going to put, you know, something out there for you guys to respond to us and maybe have some, you know, constructive conversations about the issue and your opinions, and, you know, maybe we can practice this act of understanding and encouraging people to do something. Yeah. So thank you guys very much.
Yeah, thank you.